About being given the job of speaking at the front, that Satan likes to take your voice just before you do that. Happened the last 2 weeks ago, and it happened to me today. So pretend I'm some Wolfman Jack impersonator, and I'm going to be giving you the message on the Holy Spirit. Maybe this is how the Holy Spirit speaks to you in this voice. So we are looking at the Gospel of John. And the Gospel of John is incredibly, incredibly rich. And so today we're going to be looking at chapter 16. And chapter 16 has quite an extended passage about the Holy Spirit. So we're going to speak on the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is really quite a daunting subject because he is part of the Trinity. And he shows up many, many, many places in the Bible. So to limit the Holy Spirit is a bit like limiting the wind. And so what we're going to do is we're going to use chapter 16 as kind of a diving board to jump into the pool of the Holy Spirit. And so today is going to be a little bit of an exercise that might be unusual for some, maybe uncomfortable for some, but very real in the Christian experience. So lots of times we think about good head knowledge. We should know the Bible better. We should read the Bible. Absolutely. But we should also experience God. And we experience God largely through an experiential mode with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in us. And then the question becomes, how? How do we do this? So let's do a bit of review. Last week, I brought in a big, long grapevine. And the big, long grapevine that everybody got a piece of was a metaphor that Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. And the metaphor was that Jesus gives us the sustenance to live. He gives us everything. And without Jesus, we're dead. We have no connection to the root of creation, to the root of eternity. And with the vine, we are connected. We are in Christ. So, I don't know if anybody of you went home, and I always hate giving the message because I have to listen to the practical exercises that I give at the end. Janet and I went out and threw out 5 boxes of books, just like that, on Sunday. So I'm hoping that maybe some of you got into some pruning. And maybe it was spiritual pruning. Maybe it was physical pruning. But one of the exercises was, if you prune, there will be more room for you to be in Christ. So the message today is a little bit similar because the Holy Spirit comes into us. And if there's room for the Holy Spirit, then you're going to get more Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes X, 2X, 3X, and for any of you mathematicians, X to the infinite fifth, exponentially X. So what does this mean for us as a church family, as an individual Christian? Well, the first of all is the Holy Spirit's a good guy, a good thing, a good entity, a good thing to be filled with, because at the same time, the Holy Spirit is comforter, advocate, and helper. I'm going to unpack that a bit, but let's just stop and pray for a moment. Holy Spirit, come here this morning and fill each one of us. I know that one of us here today will have the experience of being filled with you this morning. And I thank you for that experience, and I rejoice in knowing that my brothers and sisters can be filled with you. Amen. So anyway, let me give you just a little example. I became a Christian fairly late in life. So I was in my late 20s, and I wasn't exactly as bad as Saul, but I did persecute a lot of Christians in university just by, you know, hassling them, and you're going to an intervarsity meeting. Why would you do that? Well, there's free food. Well, okay, that's maybe one of the reasons, but I sort of felt like I was one of those guys. I can relate to Paul's story so well that he was converted at a certain moment and said, okay, I'm going to change my life. I'm going to do this. But when I changed, I still had sort of lots of old bits and pieces left of the old self. And one of the things was a real reluctance to experience God. I thought that was hokey. Like, and so somebody said, well, maybe you should go to the Pentecostal tradition. I said, no, I want to stay far away from those people because they're just, anyway. And then the Toronto Airport Vineyard Church happened and people were being slayed in the spirit and they were falling down and like, I didn't know what was going on with these people. And so lots of our friends and neighbors, we were living in London, Ontario, went down to the Toronto Airport Vineyard and they experienced the Holy Spirit in this congregation. I was still pretty reluctant, pretty unsure. And so I had an opportunity to read the Word, and I read the Bible through, and, you know, I kind of got the book knowledge. I didn't go to Bible college, but I've read through the Bible several times, and I'm good with that. I know God is speaking to me. But this whole experiential thing is a little bit hard for me still. And then a couple of things happened. One, and this is kind of interesting because of Ralph's passing yesterday, as an elder, I experienced a miracle. And the miracle was going to Ralph's house, praying over him. He had cancer, and his cancer was healed. Blown away. Miracles happen. And then just a few months ago, I've only shared this with a couple of people, I was here, I can't even remember who was leading worship. But somebody was leading worship, and it was about 5 minutes into the service, and I just started laughing. And I was just overwhelmed by this experience of joy, of understanding the universe. And then it was gone. And the only thing that I could explain it was an indwelling, special inpouring of the Holy Spirit. Okay, enough about me. It happened. I'm a believer. Okay, I was a believer before, but I'm really a believer now. Does that ever happen to you? Do you want that to happen to you? Well, I think there's a lot in Jesus' words today in John 16 that says, you can make that happen. Or at least you can make yourself open, permeable to making that happen. Boy, what an introduction. Anyway, let's go. I hope I only have two slides here. So where are we? This is what I've sort of done some of this. I kind of like to give you the situation as to where we are. It's the second Sunday of Lent. We talked about that last week. We are practicing penitence, prayer, preparation, all of those things. You know, it's kind of good to do some spring cleaning. And Lent is kind of like spiritual spring cleaning. Gospel of John, the writer and the content. We talked about that last week. I made a blunder. I said that Matthew, the other writer, one of the other writers of the gospel, wasn't one of the inner 12. Of course, he was one of the inner 12. Ron and I had a chat afterwards, and he said, hey, he was one of the inner 12. And yes, Matthew was one of the apostles. But I want to give you a footnote on that because I did some research on Matthew this week. And it's very interesting how Jesus picked these men. Like a bunch of them were fishermen. There were a few of them that were kind of new Old Testament scripture. But then they had some scallywags who were just really good businessmen. In fact, they were criminals, crooks. And Matthew was one of them. But one of his talents was he was a great accountant. And through those accounting skills, where he ripped people off as a tax collector, he was able to meticulously record many of the events that he records in his gospel. So anyway, got that cleared up. Matthew was one of the 12. So it was John. John was one of the inner three. So last week we looked at John 15. There are two big themes there. I am the vine, you are the branches. Talked about pruning and other practical exercises to becoming more in Christ. And then the world's hated, we as Christians will be hated. That's good. Next week, I'm not talking. I'll have completely lost my voice by then. So we're going to have a guest speaker in who's going to talk about the persecuted church next week. So let's focus today on John 16, two big themes here. The helper helps. And that's the Holy Spirit. And it's got he's got lots of names in English. It's really quite interesting because it's a really tough thing to translate. And we're going to look at that. And the other one, I will go, but I will be with you. And that I leave you. It's the last half of chapter 16. You can go home and explore that yourself. So what does the word say about the Holy Spirit? And here we're just going to focus on John, and I'm going to focus on a bit of John 14, 15, and 16. So here we have, and I think it's really interesting, when I was doing my preparation, I thought, I wonder what all of the versions of the Bible say, because I kept coming up with different words for the Holy Spirit. And so if you look at the King James Version, you get, I will pray to the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. New International Version says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. Now, another version of the NIV says counselor, but we'll come to that. Good News Translation. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper who will stay with you forever. And finally, Eugene Peterson's transcription, the Message, says, I will talk to the Father, and he will provide you another friend, so that you will always have someone with you. Okay, so who doesn't want a comforter, an advocate, a helper, or a friend? Does any of these words cause you grief? Would you turn away someone said, I'm here to comfort you. I'm here to take your case before the court and advocate for you. I'm here to be your friend, or I'm here to be your helper. Look, if you're moving and you don't have friends, you don't move, right? So these are all really encouraging words, and those are all words for the Holy Spirit. Reflect on them for a bit. Comforter. Advocate. Helper. Friend. You know what they all translate to me? They translate to me is, I got your back. I am going to be there for you. Whether it's for moving, or you're accused of a heinous crime, or you've lost a loved one, or you need somebody just to tell your problems to. That's the Holy Spirit. So how about John 14, 26? Again, three versions. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you in the Good News. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and make you remember all that I have told you. Whoops, don't want to do that. So the Holy Spirit, not only having your back, will teach you everything. And he will help you remember all things. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm getting to that age where I have to make a lot of lists, because I don't remember everything. So how about having a friend who's got your back, who's got your lists? That's not bad. That's the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus said. He's going to teach you everything, and he's going to help you remember all these things. So finally, we get into one more short passage about the Holy Spirit, John 15, 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. When the Advocate comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. The Helper will come, the Spirit who reveals the truth about God and who comes from the Father. I will send him to you from the Father, and he will speak about me. So this is what the Holy Spirit will be. He'll be sent from the Father. It's a pretty good letter of recommendation. I don't know, some of you people maybe write letters of recommendation, but you don't send a letter of recommendation to somebody you don't believe in. And here is the Holy Spirit being from the Father. This is really the key point, though, I think, for us as a church family in Pine Grove in 2014, is he is sent for you, Karen, and you, Adner, you, Julian, you, Diane, for you. And he's going to reveal the truth, and he's going to testify about Jesus. Now, that's kind of cool, because we were trying last week to figure out how we become in Christ. How do we become more like Christ? How do we become that branch on the vine? Well, we've got a teacher. We've got someone who's going to tell us a little bit about how we can know Jesus better. So we come to our passage, John 16, 7 to 15. It's a bit long. I'll just read it. I only have it in the NIV. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate, and of course you can substitute comforter or helper or friend, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you will see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you could bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. And all that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I say the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. You don't need an iPhone. You're going to get a direct line to God, to Jesus, through the Holy Spirit. So, a little recap. That's a big piece of text to chew on. But I think for me, what I get out of that text is, again, we see that the Holy Spirit will be sent to you by Jesus. Now, it's interesting, because the passage before it said by God. Well, why not have the credentials of being sent by Jesus and by God? That's even more authoritative. So again, you can't go wrong with this helper, comforter, friend, because he will be sent by the highest authority. And he will prove the world wrong about, dare I say it, sin, about righteousness, about judgment. Now, it's interesting, all of those words have fallen from disfavor in 21st century Western civilizations. Don't talk to me about sin, Jolene. I don't want to hear about sin. You know, sin is so much negativity with sin. I just want to do what I want to do. Righteousness, about being righteous. What does that mean? It means being in the justified, being so that you can walk before your Creator and say, yes, I'm okay with you. You're okay with me. Judgment. Don't judge me, you know? Dave, I don't want you judging me. Dave, no more judging me. That's what our society says. You're not the judge of me. You're not the boss of me. And the Holy Spirit is going to say, no, I don't care if it's politically incorrect, but there is a higher power. There is something called sin. There is a need to be righteous. And on the last day, there will be judgment. That's what the Holy Spirit is going to say. It's not going to be very happy. And maybe that's why we'll be among the world's hated, that we'll learn about next week. But that's one of the roles of the Holy Spirit. Now, that kind of maybe grates on you. But it is clearly part of the attributes of the Holy Spirit. He comes to show us where we can avoid sin. And he does come to comfort us. He does a lot of things. But that's out of this passage. The Holy Spirit will also guide you, though, and receive from Jesus what he made known to you. And that goes back to being in the vine. So the Holy Spirit is going to be there to do that role. So what's the Holy Spirit to you? How does the Holy Spirit, how do you imagine the Holy Spirit? In the Bible, and I'd be happy to share any of the biblical references for all of these, because I have them all. The Bible, in various places, thinks of the Holy Spirit as a dove. And that one is when the dove comes down, when Jesus is being baptized by John the Baptist. Ceremonial clothing. Oil. The Holy Spirit sanctifying through oil. Fire. The tongue of fire at Pentecost. Water. The baptism of water by John. A seal of salvation. A guarantee of salvation. The wind. In the first time we hear of the Holy Spirit's in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. That's pretty early on. And he's talked about as the breath or the wind. But this is all pretty academic. It's pretty print-based. So I want you to think in images now. Is that what you think of? There's no wrong answer here. How about that? Maybe that. This one's pretty cool. How about that? This is my favorite. Okay. And this is where I'm going to go with the rest of this message, is I want to talk about how we can have the Holy Spirit. Well, one of the things we do is we have to do some opening up. And that's why I love this particular image, is that there's an openness. There's an Abba Father kindness to being in the Spirit. We get from the various references to the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit is not an impersonal force. It's not something out there. It's the third member of the Trinity, and it has a personality. And that personality knows and speaks, makes decisions, it prays, it teaches, it guides, it commands, it fellowships. That's a lot like you and me. And it can even be grieved and tested and restricted and blasphemed and quenched. So, what does this all mean? Well, the Holy Spirit lives in us. And he lives in us from the moment that we accept Christ into our heart. If you are a believer, you have the Holy Spirit. He lives in us. It's about a relationship. You and me, Holy Spirit and me, helper and me, comforter and me, friend and me, advocate and me. We can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, interestingly, this is sort of one of those areas that, you know, you can have a large divergence on theology. How are we filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, one of the things I like, and I don't have the answers, and I'm not a theologian, I'm just a practical theologist. Theologist? Theologian, I guess. Yeah, theologist, that's probably what I am. Can't say the word. So the way I see it is the way you can be filled with the Holy Spirit is you can either consider yourself a cup or you can consider yourself a sponge. Now, probably for about the last 1900 years, maybe less, maybe 1800 years, people have been much more, let's go 1700 years, but that's my final offer, 1700 years, people have very much been of the opinion that there are all kinds of spirits and forces that permeate the real world. And those spirits will permeate like a sponge. So basically, if we're an individual, and say up until the scientific revolution in the 1750s, we would be subject to physical forces and spiritual dimensions. There would be demons, and there would be angels, and there would be all kinds of forces. And the Holy Spirit wasn't that radical an idea, except that he was radically different than the other spirits in that he was connected to the creative force of the universe. And so we were much more of a sponge variety where we could sort of accept or reject or be filled or not be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, along comes the scientific revolution, 1750s, and we start getting smart. We start inventing a bunch of things, and we start saying, ha, don't need that God guy, you know? And there are a few of us left around that are Christians, and we say, no, we still need the God guy, but he needs to fill us up. He needs to fill us up like a cup because, you know, all of this science is bombarding us, and we don't want to be influenced by this because there are no such things as evil spirits. There's only the Holy Spirit, and as Christians, we're going to be filled up. So we fill up only from the top. And then, on top of all of that, we get to the 20th century, 21st century. It doesn't matter if you're a sponge or a cup. At that point, you become an individual. And then as an individual, the secular self concept from the most famous superstar rock star philosopher of Canada. Now, you didn't know there was a rock star of philosophy in Canada, by a guy by the name of Charles Taylor. He's a Catholic from Montreal, said that we live in an era now where there's a secular self, and the secular self seals off us from each other, from our beliefs. We're individuals. I don't want you in my space. I want to be sealed off. You're getting too close to me, Danny. You're getting too close. And so, in many respects, whether you were a cup or you were a sponge, you basically sort of said, you know what, Holy Spirit, I got other things. I got other friends to help me move. And so we have been able to, in some ways, just with our worldview, been able to kind of quench the Holy Spirit. But as Christians, we are still full. And whether or not we are a sponge or a cup, we still can be filled with the Holy Spirit. How do we do that? Well, the Holy Spirit will influence us if we let him. The Spirit will help us in our prayers. The Spirit will help rise up leadership Christians who can help us to understand what it means to be filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit can take away things that are getting in our way of being filled, overcoming sin, as can the Bible. And in fact, the Spirit then will take away this bag and leave you in a position to be filled. And then it's a question of saying, yes, I want to be filled. You have the Holy Spirit. It's not like you don't have him. It's just that you can have him more. So, some closing thoughts. Our life with the Holy Spirit transforms us. Just as when we went and made that decision to be in the vine and in Christ, we, with the Holy Spirit, will enjoy a life of confidence, growth in God, and a joy. So let's be guided and taught by the Spirit. Let's move beyond the world's values. Let's be filled with the Spirit so that we can undertake new ways to serve God and to know the Spirit. Now, my closing thoughts are these, is that the Spirit, I think, kind of works in a different way than lots of our other Christian processes. It's a kind of letting go. You have to be ready to receive the blessing. And I wasn't ready that day when the music started, but I think the music put me in a place where I could receive the Holy Spirit. And it's about being ready and putting yourself in that Spirit that we can be more filled, more in Christ by having the Spirit filling us. So my last thought is really that it's about listening. It's about trusting. It's about asking. And it's about letting go. And I want you to listen to a song about letting go. Joe?
My heart beats standing on the edge, but my feet have finally left the ledge. Like an echo back, there's no turning back. I'm letting go. It's like to believe, so I'm letting go. This is a giant leap of faith, trusting and trying to
How about letting go this week? How about asking the Holy Spirit to come into your life? Be ready for a roller coaster, though, because all bets are off. Holy Spirit works in very, very interesting ways. So whether you're a cup or a sponge, try to keep the sandwich bags away and let the Holy Spirit come into your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray to you and we don't fully understand the Godhead of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but the last 2 weeks we've been looking at the Gospel of John and we understand that we are nothing without you. And we can be more in Christ, we can have a connection to you, Father, and we can be indwelled, filled with the Holy Spirit when we ask. And Lord, we are asking now, Holy Spirit, we're asking now. Jesus, we're asking now. Holy Spirit, please indwell us, fill us this week so that we might more fully understand our place here on this earth and that you have guaranteed our salvation. We ask all of this through the Godhead. Amen.